This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Well, hello there. As his voice breaks, yes, welcome to Here and Back Again, our special Oscar predictions episode. My voice has literally cracked as we've started this pod. I cannot believe it. So our guest today in the batter will be doing all the talking. It's my Oscar partner in crime. It's Stephen Boylan. Welcome, sir.
Well, hello.
How many years have we been doing these predictions and staying up late? I feel like it's about 15, is it?
10? Well, we've known each other about 20 years now.
Oh, then so it's
20. It's 20 years. Yeah, yeah.
So that's not Loserville. That's how professional this podcast is going to be. So basically, we're doing all 23 categories.
Yes.
No messing. None of this. We'll do six. No, we're doing the whole shebang.
Top 23.
Yeah, top 23. And so if you have an office or work Oscars pool, you're in. You're going to get on the podium, guaranteed, or else we'll absolutely cock up.
No guarantees. Should be some kind of legal disclaimer, Dave, that we're not responsible for any wrong answers.
Yeah, I haven't seen your predictions. You haven't seen mine.
Nope.
I have a feeling about 80% we're going to go the same way.
Well, I was looking at it today, and there's a few more what we'll call squeaky bum categories than I thought there was. Because what I would say is that a couple of the categories this year, there's been some really visually striking films.
Yes.
So production design, costume design.
Stress.
Hair and makeup, all that kind of stuff. Some of it is a little closer than I might have thought.
Flip of a coin, and you could go from hero to zero in the space of... And we've all been there.
Live action short, don't talk to me.
Okay, so without further ado, I believe we shall begin. And we're going to start with some absolute no-brainers. And I'll be shocked if you haven't got the same ones as me. But these are the ones that, as far as I'm concerned... If these ones don't win, then there's a meteor coming to strike us all down.
The disclaimer again. If these don't win,
absolutely, these are winning. So, actor in a supporting role. So you've got nominees are Sterling K. Brown, Robert De Niro, Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo. And you have gone for?
I've gone for Robert Downey Jr., who's kind of been winning everything. He's won the SAG. He's won the BAFTA. I think when the nominations came out first, there was a lot of talk about Ryan Gosling winning this, but it hasn't really come to pass. He hasn't really picked up anything, so it's been kind of Robert Downey Jr. the whole way. When I saw the film, I kind of thought, oh, you know, he's paid his dues in Hollywood. He's playing against type. And I mean, aside from all that, it's a really, really good performance. So, he's bookie's favorite. He's kind of won most of the awards, so I'd be very surprised if he doesn't win
on
Sunday.
This is a banker. I'm not even gonna. Robert Downey Jr. Actress in a supporting role, you've got Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, America Ferreira, Jodie Foster, and Divine Joy Randolph.
I mean, this could also already be engraved at this point. Divine Joy Randolph, she's won every award, and she even won the Independent Spirit Awards, which have moved to kind of gender neutral, and there's like 10 nominees in the category, and she even won that. So she's a huge short favourite. I think, you know, there's a lot of love for America Ferreira, and the work she did in Barbie, but I mean, it's been a one horse race the whole way, so it'd be very surprising. Yeah,
whole overs for the win, absolutely guaranteed, he says, and I'm sticking to that. Cinematography, you've got El Conde, you've got Killers of the Flower Moon, you've got Maestro, you've got Oppenheimer, and you've got Poor Things.
Poor Robbie Ryan, he's on his second nomination. He was nominated before for The Favourite, but I think all the momentum is behind Hoyte van Hoytema for Oppenheimer, so I would expect he won the Cinematography Guild Award in the States for this as well, and he also won the BAFTA, so he's a hot favourite with the bookies also, so I'd expect him to take one as well.
It is absolutely, as I say, poor old Robbie, like he's just going up against these hardcore, and I feel like at some point a sweep will begin. We don't know where it'll begin, but at some point you're going to go, oh, Oppie for the win. Anyway, documentary feature film, you've got Bobby Wine, The People's President, you've got The Eternal Memory, you've got Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, and 20 Days in Mariupol.
Well, this was the first category that there was a real shock in, because the documentary about John Batiste, American Symphony, was kind of a hot favourite to win it. Kind of Netflix were behind it. It's executive produced by Barack and Michelle Obama. It has got nominations in a couple of other different categories, but it didn't feature here, so that was a bit of a shock. I think the momentum really seems to be behind 20 Days in Mariupol. It's the favourite for the category. It won the BAFTA, and I think that the conversation around Ukraine is still very much in the ether. So yeah. That seems to be the one where most momentum, as I say, is for it.
Yeah, it would have been, if American Symphony was here, I think we would have been a bit more stressed. But this is like, yeah, it's kind of
cleared.
Okay, this is... The next one stresses me out.
Well, this is very high up on the no-brainer list here, and I don't know why it is.
Right, animated feature film. I know why it stressed me out, because when we're doing these, this is us choosing what the Academy is going to win. This is not what we think should. But still, animated feature film, you've got The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I am going against my heart, which is Boy and the Heron,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, possibly Miyazaki's last ever movie, or since his last ever movie. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is absolutely astonishing, as is The Boy and the Heron. I will be upset for myself and my voting numbers if I get Boy and the Heron wins. However, this is a flip of a coin for me. I know a lot of people are saying, well, Spider-Man's just... But there is that thing of Spider-Man has previously won, and there's another one coming... And will people lean into this? So, I'm going with Spider-Man. I don't know why I flipped last. This was the last one I filled in, because I kept going away and going, oh, I love Boy and the Heron. But anyway, I'm going with Spider-Man. What have you gone for?
I'm going to go for Spider-Man. I think when Boy and the Heron came out first, it seemed to land a bit... The reviews were a bit muted, and they're a bit kind of, oh, it's okay. It did win the BAFTA.
Yeah.
Which is not entirely surprising, but Spider-Man has won the Producer Guild Award. It won a lot of special effects awards recently. So from that point of view, I know the first one won the Best Animated Feature Film prize. I think it just seems to have a little bit of a bit of buzz behind it. It's slightly the favourite when it comes to the bookies. So I'm going to... I think Miyazaki is going to be the sentimental favourite,
yes,
for it. But I think he's already got his Oscar. He won an Oscar for Spirited Away. So I'm going to just say that they're going to go for the hometown favourite, which is Spider-Man.
And the one most people probably saw. Documentary short film, The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, and Nine-Eye Waypole.
Well, these are the categories now where your sweepstakes go to die, because you know it's sometimes not everybody has access to the film, so you're not entirely sure what it's going to be. The book that seems to have the buzz at the moment is The ABCs of Book Banning.
Yes,
I suppose it's very it's very in the conversation at the moment in relation to everything that's been happening in Florida and across the states in relation to books being pulled off reading lists. So I'm inclined to go for The ABCs of Book Banning. I don't think you can count out The Last Repair Shop, which is also kind of in the conversation. But I think Book Banning, just given its how relevant it is and how timely it is probably the one to beat.
Yeah, no, I think who doesn't love a documentary about books being banned? Sure, why not? But yeah, Last Repair Shop is lurking in the shadows, but I feel the Book Banning is getting it, and that's the one I went for. Also, more stress comes in the form of animated short film. You've got Letter to a Pig, 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Pat Sherderm, and War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko.
Yeah, you're looking at me as if I have any kind of insights into this race at all. Again, it's according to the bookies, it's a two-horse race between John and Yoko and Letter to a Pig. So it's kind of flip a coin time. I mean, something else will probably win it, but John and Yoko seems to be the one that has the slight edge on it. But again, we just won't know until the envelope is opened.
So you're going for
John and Yoko.
Well, I'm going for Letter to a Pig.
Oh, controversial.
This is the one where
the splits have started.
Yeah, this is where I surge ahead or surge behind. Live action short film. You've got The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
Right. Well, this was the category where there was genuine shocks, because Pedro Almodovar was on the shortlist for his kind of gay Western strange way of life, and Alfonso Cuarón was the producer on a film called The Shepherd, which was directed by Ian Softley, who made, I think, Backbeat
kind of all those years ago.
So they kind of fell by the wayside, leaving kind of Wes Anderson as the most notable name. Now, Wes Anderson's been nominated. This is his eighth nomination, and he's never won an Oscar before. People who've worked on his films have won. won Oscars. I remember watching years ago, I think it was the year The Grand Budapest Hotel was out, and it won 4 Oscars, none of which went to Wes Anderson. So it's kind of, he's kind of been there or thereabouts. But this would be his first win in 8 nominations. So, I mean, the film, if you've seen it, the short film, it's very Wes Anderson. It's like every Wes Anderson trope kind of packed into, I think it's about 35 minutes long.
It's 39, right under the cusp.
Oh, well, there you go.
Very clever.
I mean, not that we're saying it, there's any cynical
No, it's Netflix. No. They need a win. No.
I mean, I'm sure Netflix have been pushing it pretty hard, so I would be very surprised if Wes Anderson doesn't win his first Oscar for this.
Yes, me too. Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. Go for it. Film editing. You've got Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, The Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things.
Well, editing is that category where traditionally they say that you can't win Best Picture unless you win Best Editing, which I think has been kind of debunked in recent years. Oppenheimer, again, has been winning a lot of stuff here. It's won the Editing Guild, it won the BAFTA. It's a hot favourite with the bookies. I mean, there's a lot of editing in it, so why not? But I would expect Oppenheimer to kind of carry off the one here.
Yes, I'm also leaning on Oppenheimer. International feature film, Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Society of the Snow, The Teacher's Lounge, and should anybody else bother turn up, because the Zone of Interest surely is just going to wipe it.
Yeah, you would have thought so. I mean, it's nominated for Best Picture. It's nominated in a couple of other categories, and it is kind of a masterpiece. I'm sort of embarrassed about the number of films I've seen on this list this year, but it's The Zone of Interest is just, it's an incredible piece of work. And as I said, it's nominated elsewhere, and so oftentimes that's a good indicator of what a winner is, that it has nominations in categories that aren't restricted to this. Society of the Snow has a nomination in Makeup and Hairstyling, but The Zone of Interest is nominated for Best Director. It's nominated for Best Picture. It's nominated in Best Sound and Best Screenplay.
Sadly, didn't get the showdown that everybody wanted, which was Anatomy of a Fall versus this, which would have been, again, a very difficult choice. But obviously, the French didn't put it forward. And I think Zone of Interest is just going to,
And it should. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right, Makeup and Hairstyling. We have Golda, we have Maestro, we have Oppenheimer, we have Poor Things, and we have Society of the Snow.
What do you think's going to win, Dave?
Well, the film is terrible. It's the most Oscar play I've ever seen from a man who's desperate. I fell asleep twice watching it, but Maestro is going to win, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, interesting.
So what have you got?
Well, I think Poor Things won the BAFTA, but Maestro won the Guild. And there was obviously a lot of talk when the film came out first around Nosegate and all that kind of stuff, which seems to have kind of gone away because Bernstein's family came out and said, no, he looks great and we don't have an issue with it. I mean, the bookies have it kind of neck and neck. I think if people... I mean, all the guilds vote separately, so it's not a case of them looking going, well, it's not going to win anything else, so we'll give it this.
Yeah.
So I think it is going to be close. If I don't know in the running order where where Makeup and Hairstyling is going to be. If Poor Things wins this, it could be a really good indication that it's going to kind of sweep up in a lot of the other categories. I don't really know. Because it won the Guild, I'm kind of swaying towards Maestro. But who knows? Again, if Poor Things and Maestro are neck and neck, you never know if something else could come and sneak through the middle. Something like maybe Society of the Snow or even Oppenheimer. I mean, that's another good point in that if Oppenheimer is having a great night and it's just clearing up everywhere, it could pick up in this.
But check.
But I'm going to say Maestro by a nose.
Oh, my sweet Lord. That's what you come here for, people. Bad dad puns. Right. The next two I put hand in hand because this is where I flipped so many times. So you have production design, which is Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. And then costume design, we'll do them together. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. And I'm saying this because there's really two front runners as far as I can figure out. And it's whether you're going Barbie or whether you're going Poor Things. Mm-hmm. And that's literally, and I've swung, and then I was just, okay, if I was in the Academy, you know, la 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 la. I don't think you can, and I've seen people say they'll give one, like, you know, maybe costume to one, but I think if they go for one, they're going for the one is getting both, if you get me. Yeah. So I have gone, I'm going for Poor Things. I think it is absolutely beautiful to look at. The dresses, the just everything about it, the whimsy, that it's just amazing. Barbie, yes, also iconic and amazing and more likely to be Halloween costumes for the next 50 years. Absolutely brilliant. But I just think the way Barbie has something else coming up soon that's gonna win that. But I think the love in the room will be for Poor Things, because I don't think it's going to win much else. And I'm going with Poor Things for both of these.
For both, okay. It's interesting. I mean, for me, I loved the costume design on Poor Things so much that if it doesn't win it, I will be personally disappointed. And I've never met Holly Waddington, and I don't know her, but I will be gutted for her if she doesn't win. I mean, with the bookies, Barbie is the slight favourite on costume design. Poor Things is the slight favourite on production design.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking that's going to flip, and I don't know why, but I think Poor Things is going to win costume design, and I think Barbie is going to win production design. I think Barbie is such a striking piece. I mean, the one thing I would say about Poor Things when I saw it was it looks quite CGI.
Yes.
Is the only thing that and maybe obviously it was a deliberate choice by Yorgos Lanthimos, but it didn't look real to me.
Yeah.
It looked a bit CGI, striking as it did. So I'm not sure if that's going to... I mean, do I know what I'm talking about? Probably not. but I'm going to say that I think Poor Things is going to win costume design, and I think Barbie is going to win production design.
So splitting the camp.
Splitting the camp.
You're hedging your bets is what you're doing.
Yeah.
See what you're doing there. I'm all in. And I'm either going to be king of the world or else I'm out. Music, original score, everybody loves Triers, but it's really only one for me. So you've got American Fiction, you've got Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, you've got Killers of the Flower Moon, you've Oppenheimer, and you've Poor Things. Is there any doubt?
There's not. I mean, I think Ludwig Göransson is going to win for Oppenheimer. Yes. The only thing I would say is that the great Robbie Robertson is no longer with us. So unless there's some sort of big kind of sentimental thing that... The studio are really going to push that Apple, isn't it? Yeah. Apple Plus are going to push for Killers of the Flower Moon on this, but I can't really see anything getting in the way of Oppenheimer in this one.
Oh, it's absolutely fantastic soundtrack, and there's multiple sweeps starting to happen and it's all kicking off. So Oppenheimer for original score, for original song, again, probably in the bag. You've got The Fire Inside, from Flamin' Hot, Diane Warren. God bless her.
God love her.
God bless her. This is the song I can't believe got in instead of Jack Black. Like, what the hell? Anyway, I'm Just Ken from Barbie. It Never Went Away. That's from American Symphony. Wazaze, excuse me if I butchered that. A song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon. And What Was I Made For from Barbie. What were you made for? You were made for to win with a boring song. And it's no brainer. Billie Eilish is winning all the way. But it sounds like I love Billie Eilish. I've been to her many times in concert.
Dave can see the look on my face and he's backtracking furiously.
No, this is so an Oscar song. That's what I'm... Oh, anyway.
No. I mean...
Shoot me down, but I'm picking it to win.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, it was my favourite song last year. I absolutely loved the song. And it won the Grammy as well.
Yeah.
Against a lot of songs that aren't nominated in this category.
Yeah.
So what I would say is that, I mean, Billie Eilish is going to win. I think it's something ridiculous where she'll be the youngest person. I'm not sure if it's the youngest person to win two Oscars or the youngest person to win two music Oscars, but she's going to have two Oscars by the age of 21. And the second youngest person is going to be her brother, who's also nominated, who's only going to be 26. And poor Diane Warren to a certain extent. She's very wealthy. This will be her 15th nomination, competitive nomination, and she won't have won. She got an honorary Oscar, I think, last year, but she's never won. And this will be the second time she'll be sitting there when Billie Eilish goes up and wins an Oscar in front of her. So, poor Diane. But I think it's really going to be Billie Eilish's.
Yeah, she needs to be in a blockbuster movie. She needs to get a job, because all the ones I'm like, there's Diane Warren. What is that movie? I've never heard of it.
Well, you know, she wrote, like, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing from Armageddon and all this. So yeah, she's been around, but it just hasn't happened for her, unfortunately. But I don't think it's going to be her year again either. It's
Billy and Phineas all the way. Sound, we have the nominees are The Creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, which is no longer called, Oppenheimer, and The Zone of Interest. I'm starting my sweep, so here comes Oppenheimer. I know there's a bit of a buzz around The Zone of Interest, but Oppenheimer, it's just that when you're sitting in that cinema and there's all sorts of shit kicking off, like, holy crap, like, it's just amazing.
There's a lot of sound. Well, again, I mean, the one thing, like you've said, about Zone of Interest is I think they're kind of home and hosed when it comes to the international film. I think they know, and we'll come to picture and director, I think they know the jig is up on those. It is the one thing that you've heard people talking about with the Zone of Interest is the sound, how deliberate it is. It won the BAFTA.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily count it out because, again, these are the kind of categories where you have the guilds and the professionals voting for them specifically, and they're not necessarily swayed as much by what's happening outside everywhere, and they will be sitting down and they'll be going, what is this? So, I mean, Oppenheimer is favourite, but Zone of Interest is right behind it in the betting. So this is, if you're looking to kind of get your head or you get your neck in front on your work sweepstake, the Zone of Interest is not, how do I want to say it? I wouldn't be surprised if it won. It's not an unlikely winner.
And that's why you're going for Oppenheimer.
No, I'm going to go for Zone of Interest.
Oh, you crazy.
I think the BAFTA has kind of swayed it for me, and also the fact that it has a bit of buzz.
See, the BAFTAs, I think they're just mad as a bag of cats, and I don't believe they have an effect on Hollywood in any way, because everybody's looking going, what are they at over there? Like, they're all a bit mad. But that's another, again, a flip of a coin. It's very close between them, but I'm going all in on Oppenheimer, just cleaning up. Visual effects. Very intriguing, this one. You've got The Creator, you've got Godzilla Minus One, you've got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, you've Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1, and you've Napoleon.
Go for it.
Okay, so I absolutely love The Creator. I mean, it's a thing of beauty. It blew me away. I was like sitting there and I was like, holy crap, this guy is just, this is amazing. I actually believe these robots, whatever the hell they are, they're real. And then I saw Godzilla Minus One, and I think it's the 70th anniversary of Godzilla, and I couldn't believe the emotion I was feeling for this giant monster, who it's not like this is not the Warner Brothers MonsterVerse Godzilla, this is proper Japanese old school, unbelievable effects they've done. So I'm going all in on the Godzilla's Minus One train, because I think it's what they've achieved for so the money on it was so little. It's, and in fairness to The Creator, for one of those big budgets, it's not a massive budget either. But again, this could flip either way. But I just think there's a bit of hype behind Takashi and his crew, and I just think that it's gonna sneak it. But I wouldn't be upset, would for the points, if The Creator won. But no, Godzilla might as well. What are you going for?
This is really interesting because The Creator, they had the visual effects awards recently, and The Creator won like 5. So, I mean, it has a big thing behind it. This is the stupidest thing I'm going to say in this podcast, right? But people love...
All stupid things are welcome on this podcast.
Oh, thank God. Like, people love sentiment, and they love it. And the one video that came out on nominations day was the Godzilla crew going absolutely nuts when they got nominated.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and this kind of contradicts what I've just said about the sound thing, I realise, but sometimes those things do kind of just carry and people go, oh, well, you know, it's a team, it's out of town, they're not in the industry, everybody loves Godzilla. I could see a situation where Godzilla takes this.
Yeah.
Again, they're slightly ahead with the bookies. BAFTA, absolutely no use whatsoever because poor things won the award there and they're not nominated here. So I'm gonna go with Godzilla. I think Godzilla is kind of like the one that's gonna surprise everybody and that will get kind of a huge cheer on the night.
Yeah, and you could see him kind of hanging out with Steven Spielberg and all the, you know, all the iconic directors and going to the Star Wars world to have a visit, and I think it's, yeah, it's a nice little story, and it's an amazing, amazing movie. I'm just really upset there's a black and white version that we never got to see here that they released in the States. I'm like, hello, everybody. We would like to see that. Right. Oh, more stress here. Adapted screenplay.
Time to lie down on the ground.
Nominees are American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. Like, holy shit, like, any one of them. Like, it's just insanity, but we can only pick one.
Yeah, and when you think about it, like, Killers of the Flower Moon got elbowed out of this. It's not even here. I mean, this could conceivably go any one of four ways. Yeah. I think the one that's probably most likely not to take it here is Poor Things. I don't think that's going to be necessarily in the running. Zone of Interest, again, just because I think there's so much admiration for it, but again, it hasn't really been picking up any writer's awards. So I think it's kind of between American Fiction, Barbie, and Oppenheimer. What the vibe for Oppenheimer might be is that, well, it's going to win elsewhere, you know, and people are fairly assured of that, and that if Christopher Nolan is going to win a couple of other awards during the evening, well, then he doesn't necessarily need to go here. American Fiction has been winning a lot of awards. I was really surprised when it won the BAFTA, because, again, it's a very American film, and so BAFTA kind of skews home sometimes. So my initial thought was American Fiction. And then we've had this constant conversation since nomination day about Greta Gerwig and Barbie and the fact that she wasn't nominated for Best Director, that Margot wasn't nominated for Best Actress. And I'm not really sure. I think generally the writing branch really doesn't tend to be that sentimental when it comes to picking awards, and it does tend to skew. So my head is saying that American Fiction is going to win it. My heart isn't saying Barbie's going to win it, because I'm not really all that pushed if it does or not. Yeah. But I'm just saying that it could be, it wouldn't necessarily be a huge surprise or a shock if it did actually take it, because people, obviously, Barbie has made a lot of money. Greta, I think, is kind of very popular in Hollywood. So Barbie is kind of, it's still in the conversation, but I do think that American Fiction is probably going to take it.
Yes, I went for American Fiction, Cord Jefferson. I absolutely adored American Fiction. I thought it was amazing. Like, that whole January run of movies every week, you're like, holy crap, like, this is unbelievable. What evidence that deep. But American Fiction definitely was one of my, if you haven't caught it, please do. So yes, I went for American Fiction. Also, original screenplay, we've Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives.
I really hope Anatomy of a Fall wins this. Yes. I'm such a huge fan of that film. I think it's brilliant. And this is likely to be the only thing that it will win. It is hot favourite to win it. It's 9-4 on at the bookie, so that's a very good chance. It won the BAFTA, it won the Golden Globe. There are no Guild Awards yet. The writers, because of the strike last year, those awards have been pushed back to April, so they're happening after the Oscars. So I think the Anatomy of a Fall is going to win.
Yeah, I think the nearest threat and the sentiment was going towards The Holdovers, but Anatomy of a Fall is absolutely, unless something crazy happens in one of the roles coming up, like mad stuff, that'll be its big kind of push. So Anatomy of a Fall, yes, screenplay, love it. Actor in a leading role, ba-da-ba-ba, heading into the last four. Huh? Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. Is there any doubt? Yes, there's many doubts.
Well, not so much anymore. I mean, it was a two-horse race, and then I think if Paul Giamatti had won the Screen Actors Guild Award, we'd be probably having a slightly different conversation. But he didn't, and Cillian did, and I think that's probably settled it a little bit. Cillian has won the Screen Actors Guild, he's won the BAFTA. He is the film to a certain extent. So it's one of those things that's kind of weird that he wouldn't, if it's going to win so much that he is so absolutely core to the film, that'd be very strange that he wouldn't win it. So I think Cillian is probably on his way. I mean, again, I'm Mr. Hedge the Bets here. I think Paul Giamatti is really popular, but the fact that he didn't win the Screen Actors Guild Award is kind of a bit of a red flag, unfortunately, for him. So I reckon Cillian can
more or less,
he can get the old the Brasso out.
Yeah, so I also went with Cillian. Actress in the leading role, we've Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Kerry Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Go for it, Dave.
Well, it's between two, but then there's also the possibility of a sneaky... first of all, the sneaky. Sandra Hüller is not going to win for Anatomy of a Fall. However, there is something in my head that says if there's going to be a shock of the night, this could be their shock for the night. This could be the one, because that role is unbelievable. That movie is unbelievable, and maybe this is the one that they don't want to give it to the screenplay. They want to give it to her here. And because there's such a divide over the other two, she sneaks in. However, it is, you know, the top two are Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone, and what I expect to see on the night is Emma Stone jumping very high in the air while applauding Lily Gladstone's victory. So Lily Gladstone is going to win it for me.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely outcome. But it's funny, I've been exactly the same with Sandra Hüller, in that I'm such a... I think I'm probably... It's a harsh overhead kind of thing, because I do love that movie so much. All along the way, I've gone, she's going to win BAFTA. And she didn't. And this is, she's going to win the Screen Actors Guild. And she didn't. Yeah. And yet I still can't shake the feeling that at some point, somewhere along the way... And you know, it's not like we haven't seen it happen. I mean, Olivia Colman wasn't the favourite to win for the favourite. Glenn Close was like a sure bet and just it didn't happen. And this could be kind of an Adrian Brody kind of a moment where back in, I think it was what, 2001? I want to say 2002. Best Actor was kind of between Jack Nicholson for Bate Schmidt and Daniel Day-Lewis for Gangs of New York, and they're kind of neck and neck. And lo and behold, here comes Adrian Brody. Now, I think at the time, that was part of the Weinstein Oscar machine, and I think the pianist was a kind of a mere maxim, so there was a lot of campaigning for him. But that could happen here, plausibly, I think, maybe, possibly, maybe not. Everything is pointing to a two-horse race between Gladstone and Stone. Gladstone won the SAG Award, Emma Stone won the BAFTA, they both won a Golden Globe, so it's all kind of a bit neck and neck along the way. I think Lily Gladstone, they love a historic moment. They love that kind of, that moment of just pure joy. And Lily Gladstone will become the first Native American to win a Best Actress Award. And I think that moment will probably more than likely happen. What's going against Emma Stone, of course, is that she has one, that she won one. And it's not that long ago, so since she won one, she's still very young. So that might be a thing. The only thing that could really help Hüller win it is if Stone's support is a lot stronger than we actually think it is. Yeah. But if Gladstone won the SAG, there's no reason to think that she won't win the Oscar.
Yeah, and obviously BAFTA did not nominate
Lily Gladstone.
So denied us the showdown that we were hoping for. But I think Lily has it in the bag. Last two, directing, we have Anatomy of a Fall by Justine Triet. We have Killers of the Flower Moon, Martin Scorsese. Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan. Poor Things, Yorgos Lanthimos. And The Zone of Interest, Jonathan Glazer. I think it's done.
Yes, Justine Triet is winning, definitely. Yeah. I think this is only going in. This is only going on one mantelpiece, and that's Christopher Nolan's.
The humorous, witty Christopher Nolan, who's come out of his shell for Oppenheimer and is going around cracking jokes all over the gaff. What is going on? I love it. But yeah, give his PR firm and a raise, because my God, he's flipped. He's definitely getting that James Bond gig now. And finally, Best Picture. There's 10 of them there. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Do we even need to guess? It's
Oppenheimer,
yes.
But like what's going to be really interesting on the night is there is scope for shocks.
Yes.
I think there is. And I think there's scope for some really good moments. And it could be a very entertaining show with some really good speeches. I think Downey Jr. has kind of been keeping his powder dry a little bit when it comes to speeches. So I think he'll probably go wide.
Yes. And it's on at a very respectable hour.
Amazing. For this side of the planet,
11 p.m. like that's like
in bed by 3 with a bit of luck.
Oh my God, yes.
But what is David, tell me, what is your favorite Oscars moment?
It has to be the envelope. Like I remember us, like we were here in my gaff, we were watching it, and I remember when they first announced La La, you were so upset. You were just, you were up. You were leaving, and it took about 30 seconds for it all to. And I was like, "Why are they all? Who's does people?
What's happening?
Does people run?" And like, get back in here. It's not over. It's not over. That to me was. And then, like, it was a bad thing. It was a very bad thing. But you, like, the slap that was heard around the room.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was like, is this a, like it? I think it took us half an hour to cop on. And go on the Twitter to figure out that slap was not part of the because you're just like, did that just happen? What just happened? It was, and then to let him, Will Smith, sit in the front, it was just the most bizarre. They manhandled that the wrong way. That says it all. When you're sitting on a couch and it's 2 a.m. and you're half asleep and stuff like that happens, you are wide awake. Yeah. What about you?
I don't know, like, there's so many. I mean, I remember my earliest memory of the Oscars, because I know it's a strange one because we're over this side of the world, and, like, you know, when you're a kid, you can't watch it because it's on the middle of the night. I mean, I do remember my first memory of it was Brenda Fricker, like, being woken up the next morning and being told Brenda Fricker had won the Oscar, which is really strange because it wasn't even so much that she was Irish at the time. It was because she was on Casualty. And, like, the disconnect between the two of...
Yeah.
But she's on Casualty, you know, and winning an Oscar is really strange. The envelope was madness. I mean, when they announced La La Land as Best Picture winner, I was sitting and I was like going, oh, yeah, there we go. And then going home to bed and being like going, I can't go to sleep now. Like, this is just insanity. Yeah. I missed the slap live because I hadn't watched it. I didn't watch it. That was a year that I missed. And I woke up and I just remember looking at the news going, what on earth?
What
has happened? But look, I mean, I loved seeing Anna Paquin win years ago. That was such a brilliant, cute moment. But it's just one of those shows that always, you know, there's always something kind of weird and wacky to take away from it. And it's really, a lot of the time, it's all about the results as well. It's those moments where, like Jamie Lee Curtis winning last year, where that wasn't a sure thing by any stretch of imagination. And that was a great moment as well. So
I'm looking forward to it. I missed the Steve Martin intros where he would put himself into the movies. Now, they kind of did that weirdly for Barbie this year with Jimmy Kimmel, but released it about a month ago, which was kind of weird. But I like it, but I was like watching it going, this is brilliant. Why is this not the opening segment? But then it would be leaning too Barbie heavy. But
And what was the year? Remember they went to the movie theater across the road?
Oh yeah!
They just invaded a screening. Yeah. Like, yeah, was it Jimmy Kimmel? I think it was Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, and so like, all these film stars coming.
I have faith in Jimmy Kimmel. You know, at least it won't be terrible. Put it that way. But we'll see what happens. For anybody who normally listens to the pod, there is no post-credit scene today. So feck off, travelers. No. However, there is a song going to send us out, and I've asked Stephen to pick a Oscar score or original song winner to send us off into the night and to fill out our form. So, Stephen Boylan, no pressure. What is your choice of song?
Well, there's a...
score.
Or score. Well, I'm going to pick a song.
Okay.
And there's been some...
It's Billie Eilish, you're out.
Okay, bye. No. And there's been a couple of really good ones that I've loved. But I think in recent years, the one that I've loved the most is probably Skyfall, which I think was just a kind of a classic... James Bond theme, and it, like, was the first time a James Bond film had won an Oscar since like the 60s, I think. So that was a big moment, and I suppose Adele was just so charming at the ceremony as well. So I have a soft spot for Skyfall, so I think we'll play it with Skyfall.
And there you go, people, there you go. Thank you very much, Stephen. That was fantastic. I'm glad you did most of the talking, because my poor little voice, it's cracking away here. And I look forward to kicking your ass in the predictions, and or else not, because it's... Both of us could just fail miserably. But don't forget, if you have got a pool in work, get in there and, you know, get on that podium. And please remember, you know, keep the speech short, please. Thank you. This is Here and Back Again. This is David Callahan getting out of Dodge. See you next week. Or actually, no, I'll see you in 2 days because the next pod is up then.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to ten. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again. For this is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment. So